in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Brother Victor, would you pray for us?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day. Praise you, God. Gather here at this very special place. I ask that you fill Pastor Jones with the Holy Spirit as he gets ready to deliver the message on his heart.
All right. Amen. Well, look down to verse number 11 real quick. Acts chapter 5, verse 11. It says this, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." Now, we're going to talk about what that means this morning, and a little bit of a different sermon for you guys this morning because this marks the second year anniversary of our church. For everybody in here knows this, but this church started out as a satellite, and Brother Mike Akers and his family hosted the church while it was satellite, and even after we first became independent for a while. And basically what happened is, you know, we grew and moved into our house, and we moved into this building, and now here we are 2 years later as an independent Fundamental Baptist church. And what I like to do, and I did this last year, is to just kind of review what happened the year prior, because I think that learning from things that went well, things that didn't go well, is good for us. And just like we're reading here in verse 11, it says, "And as many as heard these things," right? The whole idea is that we allow and we become a people that fear the Word of God, you know, fear the applications and the teachings that come from the Bible. And so there's a lot of parallels in this story with Ananias and Sapphira about how we began the second year. Because if you remember, or if you weren't here, I'll just tell you, we basically began this year right after losing, I mean, like a couple weeks right after losing two families. Now, if you think about it, if you look back at verse number one, so Acts chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." But look at verse 3. It says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land that was sold?" And so what you have to understand here is that nobody told them to do this. Nobody told them, "Hey, you have to go sell this and give this to the apostles." They made a decision in their hearts, you know, we're going to sell this and we're going to give this to God. And then when it came time to actually pull the trigger, they decided, you know what? No, let's not do that. It's too much. You know, we've got all this other stuff we'd like to do with money and so on and so forth. And so they kept back part of the price. And we learn from reading this passage here that that was inspired by the devil himself, because that's why Peter says, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart?" And that's a good question. And that's something we all need to ask ourselves. Now, these two families that left right before the beginning of the second year, in the same way they did that, because they said, "Hey, you know what? We're going to go ahead and sell some of our time. We're going to give up some of our time to come to church, to come soul winning, right? To invite people over to our houses, to fellowship, and to come soul winning and to do all these things," right? They did that. But there was something that they were keeping back, and that wasn't money. It was their hearts. It was their intentions, if you will. And so it's the same thing that, so if you look at this story, right, what eventually happened? God got rid of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, does God go around killing everybody who lies to the Holy Ghost today? No. If you understand the Bible, you learn one thing, that when God begins a thing, he often brings a harsh punishment when people buck the system, okay? You could see that philosophy all throughout the Old Testament regarding the kings and of Israel and stuff like that. And so we have the beginning of basically these churches being built, you know, the church in Jerusalem here, God's trying to strengthen them, trying to build upon that foundation so that they can go out into all the world and preach the gospel and to teach all nations and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And here you have a couple of people that are starting to buck the system. They're starting to corrupt what's going on there, and they don't even realize it. They think in their own hearts, well, no one's going to know. But there's a problem with that. We don't get to play by the rules of the world. God knows and says, "Hey, I'm going to deal with this and I'm going to get rid of these people." And there's some miraculous things that happen after they're gone. Now, keep your place there. We're going to come back to that later on, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. So back to these two families, right? Kind of a lot of people, because we'd already gone through the other fiasco I don't even want to talk about this year. So, you know, we began the year off kind of rough, and you would expect, like, man, we literally started the year with half the people that we started when this church was first formed. You know, I mean, it wasn't too uncommon to have, you know, 38, 39, 40 people when I'd come to visit you guys. And even when we first started, you know, even meeting here regularly in this building, you know, a lot of Sunday mornings we'd have close to 40 people. And then beginning of year two, we're like down to like 20, you know, Sunday nights, it's like 12, you know, 13. And hey, praise God for all of it. And you're going to see why that didn't affect anything, why it doesn't even matter. Now, I don't know about you, but year two has been my favorite year so far. Okay, definitely been my favorite year so far. I think everybody in here could say the same thing, you know. Same thing, definitely been a much, much better year. But let's take a look at why, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse number 6. It says this, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" And that's a good question, isn't it? We all need to understand what Paul's talking about here. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. See, because some people have this idea, well, if things get crazy and more people start believing what they believe, then we'll do something about it. But that's not biblical. Anytime as a church we see, you know, a little brush fire, a little person like, you know, hey, I don't really believe in eternal security, you know, we have to pounce on that. We have to jump on that and make sure that that doesn't grow into something larger. Because that type of leaven, what does it do? Look at verse 7. He says this, "Purge out therefore," so for the reason he mentioned in verse 6, he says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us." And that's literally how we began year two, as a new lump, without that leaven. Now, I feel like we didn't have a little leaven. Like beginning this church, we had a lot of leaven. Like half this lump was like literally leaven, it seems like, you know. But why does he say purge out therefore the old leaven? What's the problem with old leaven? What does leaven even do? Well, it causes the dough to ferment and to expand and to rise, right? That's the whole point of it. He says, purge out therefore that old leaven. Old leaven can't do anything. If you put old leaven into a ball of dough, is it going to rise? No. It's going to cause problems. It's going to stunt growth. You see, and a lot of people can't figure that out. And really, that concept there is why we lost so many people. Because the first person that we ever kicked out of this church, other people were like, "I can't believe you did that. Just one person, really? You can't just keep them here and work on them? You can't Matthew 18 them? Aren't you supposed to help people out?" But what that idiot, what that fool, what she didn't understand, and her fag kids didn't understand,
right,
is that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Right.
And year number two proves that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
Any good baker knows that you got to get rid of that old leaven. You know, you reach back in the shelf and you check the date, it's 5 years old, it's probably not going to work. You're going to put that leaven in that lump of dough and come back tomorrow morning and nothing has changed. Nothing at all. So you say, okay, go to Acts chapter 19. So what in the world happened? Because think about this. You know, those two families left late January, February, we begin year two. What happens in March and April? Well, now all of a sudden we've got this coronavirus lockdown stuff. Now all of a sudden people are wearing masks and scared to death to come to church. And, you know, at the beginning, I understand, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. Now we have uncertainty with jobs. You know, all of us were like, are we still going to be able to work this year? You know what I mean? Or how are we going to pay the rent, our own rents, right? How are we going to pay our own cars, our own bills, let alone pay for the church building? I mean, now it's like, man, and these things started to cross my mind. Like, we lost half the church. How in the world are we going to make all of this stuff work? Well, when you get rid of that old leaven, you know what happens, right? You begin as a new lump, and then the thing can grow. So what happened after all those people left? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Our soul winning went skyrocketing high. Right? Like right now, the only days we don't have soul winning is Tuesdays and Fridays. And we got to have a break. You know, it's crazy. And not to mention, our salvation numbers literally after they left doubled. Right? So instead of having like 6 or 7, and there's nothing wrong with that. Praise God if we have 1. Hey, praise God if we have 0 and we still went soul winning.
Amen.
Because if you're not soul winning, at least you're soul warning, right?
Yeah.
But After those people left, it's like instantly, it's like something happened to this church, like something happened in the community. And all of a sudden, we're getting 20, 30. And it's like, what in the world? I mean, it just like completely blew up. And then, you know, all of a sudden, like I said, we have all this coronavirus stuff. Oh, you know, travel restrictions and all of this stuff. You know, the mega soul winning marathon's called off. It's like, man, you usually get a lot of salvations that day. What are we going to do? Well, we just decided to branch out and on Saturdays just go to small towns. And we went to Emmett. We went to Ontario. We went to Middleton. Middleton sucked, but, you know, at least we went, right? That was a soul warning event. We went to Mountain Home a few times. You know, we wound up having like 10, was it 9 people saved and just one regular soul winning time over in Nampa? It's like Nampa woke up, Meridian woke up, you know, and all of a sudden we're starting to get visitors to pile in. You guys are reaching people in your families and in at work and, you know, just meeting people everywhere. And it's like a whole completely different church. Not to mention, I don't talk about money that often, but the money went up. How do you explain that? You know, I go back over these books and I'm like, oh, there's people just never gave. You know, they figured they'd come in here, give their time, give their frowns to people, you know, give their, you know, their dirty looks. And that's it. You know, they kept back part of what they initially decided they were going to commit. And God got rid of them. They were leaven. You know, and it's kind of weird because it's like, well, those of us who are here now, it's like, well, we're strong. How do they hold us back? You know, they hold us back in ways we don't even realize. And that's why God says, hey, don't worry about the mechanics of all that. Just get rid of them. Purge it out. Obviously, there's a process. We want to try to deal with it if we can. But if not, man, we have to get rid of them. You know, and I kind of knew that, you know, in the beginning. We knew false Nimrod was a problem. But he kept showing signs like maybe he's growing. Maybe his family's growing. I didn't see his wife frown like the whole sermon, just half today. So maybe, you know, maybe things are changing, right? The kids seem happy, you know? And then the other guy, he came to church like once in June and once in July. So it was like, well, there's some growth there. He came 2 services in 2 months, you know? I mean, maybe things are improving. But then after a while, I started to notice, you know, something's going on here because they're always whispering in the corner. I'm starting to hear things, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to get rid of them. And so I began a process of doing what I do best, taking digs at people. I'm just kidding. But I did do that. I started to understand when I said certain things that Nimrod and Mrs. Nimrod would get upset. And so I started to do it over and over, and I'd watch them squirm. And it's just, I don't know if you guys understand, it's distracting. When you can tell someone's pissed off and they don't want to be here and they're just looking at you like they want to kill you, it's distracting. It's a problem that I have. I wish I would have known that before I started preaching because that bothers me. It's no longer bothering me as well. I think God used that to kind of help me out, you know, to help all of us out, though. It bugs you, too. Right. I mean, you guys understand. I've heard you guys talk. You guys know. When you know somebody comes week after week and they're not on board, it hurts. Right? Because we're all of one mind. We want to see people saved. We want to see people come in here. We want to see people grow. We want to make a difference in the community, and we are. We definitely are. And so what I continue to do is just take digs until that one day they had enough and they just left. You know, because I felt like I was stuck between a rock and a hard place because I know they're talking trash. I know they're not happy, but they won't admit it. And they won't tell anybody. They won't tell me. And so what do you do? Well, all I could do was pray to God, hey, Lord, just please just either get them on board or get them out because they're a problem. And obviously that prayer worked. They were like Ananias and Sapphira. Actually, I think they were worse, especially Nimrod. I think he was a devil. I don't believe that guy is saved. Even if he called, oh, I'm sorry, I want to come back because my buddy Turdburger Todd's dead, I'd be like, nope. Don't even look at me on the street if you see me. I don't ever want to talk to you again. Because of some of the things that he has said about this church and about our salvation message, which is the Bible's salvation message. Okay? Now, let's see. Where did I have you turn? Acts 19? So again, our soul winning times increased. Our salvations increased. Our visitors increased. Our money, everything increased. Because once we got rid of that leaven, we were able as a new lump to properly ferment and to properly rise. And that's the goal of this third year, is to do more of the same, to allow more of that to happen, okay? Now let's move on here. Look at Acts chapter number 19 in verse 13. It says this. So I like to use this to preach against the Catholic exorcist, but let's look at it. It says in verse 13, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Okay? Red flag. Red flags all over this situation. Look at verse 14. It says this, "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so." Verse 15. "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" That had to be terrifying. You know, like, oh, wait a second. These guys actually know Paul? No, what? Now look at the results of this. In verse 16. "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." Now, here's the first point that I want to make this morning, and it's fakes can't follow through and eventually get found out. Fakes cannot follow through and eventually get found out. Those people that left, we were talking about this last night, me and Jessica. It's like they never really grew. They had little peaks, but it was always just like right back down. Right, they'd come, you know, I remember Nimrod came to me and he was like, you know, the kids, they really want to go soul winning, and I think that's of the Holy Ghost, and I don't want to quench that. I knew right there. He said that to me on the other side of this wall, and I knew right there, this guy's done. It's just a matter of time. That's one of the reasons why I was like, this guy's just not getting it. He's just never going to get it. So all the stuff that I'm hearing he's saying about me and about other people must be true, even though he's not going to admit it. Right? But he's really like this. And if you think about it, fanboys are the same way. Yeah. Right? Fanboys, what do they say? They walk through this door, and before they get to the end of this partition right here, every one of them, 100%, every one of them, what do they say? Pastor Anderson. And look, I don't have a problem with Pastor Anderson. One of the reasons I'm here today is because of his preaching. Okay? Okay? But look at verse 14. Look at the end of verse 13. "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." You know what the fanboys say before the end there? "Hey, we greet you by Jesus who Pastor Anderson preaches." And they never grow beyond that statement. Before they get, literally, I'm not kidding, before they get to the end of that partition there. I'm serious. I don't know. I'm keeping track of all the visitors this year, but I want to know what happens to one of them that says that, like, when they get to the carpet here. Does that make a difference? I don't know. But that's what they basically say. "Hey, we come to you because we've heard of the Jesus that Pastor Anderson preaches, and we heard that the Jesus you preach is close to his." Yeah. And what happens is they come here, and I think their ears just close up, and they see YouTube up here instead of me, instead of you, and they just don't hear a word they say. They don't hear a word that Pastor Anderson even says, because a lot of times they come in here after calling Faithful Word. And they talk to Brother Corbin, you know, and they're like, "Hey, is there a church like yours anywhere in Idaho?" And he's like, "Yeah, Shield of Faith Baptist Church, right? You should go there." And they say, "Yeah, that's great." And then they come in here and they're like, "This isn't Tempe." Yeah. Right? But they think they're so hardcore. They think they're going to go out in the world and just slay dragons and, you know, cast out demons and get people saved and do all these great works. But what happens to them? What happens to 100% of those people? Ring the bell. They ring that bell and they never come back. And they never come back. And look, we want them to come back. They're not devils, you know. they're not bad people. We want them to stay. But they've made a decision in their hearts that they're going to remain fanboys, new IFB fanboys, instead of becoming a fanboy of the Lord Jesus Christ and fearing what he says and fearing his book. You know, it's like, what else are you looking for? We're doing the works. Right? We have 2 days during the week where we don't go soul winning, and one of them's about to be taken up with something else. Okay? What else do you want from us? What else do you need? But the honest truth is they're no different than these exorcists. They're saved. A lot of them. Born again. You know, but they just can't get past that fanboy stab. They just can't get over it. You know, well, how come you don't have the same background? How come you don't use the same shampoo? You don't have the same amount of people. You don't have the exact, it's like, just get out. Just go.
Yeah.
Just go. we don't need that.
Yeah.
And so I said, point number one, fakes can't follow through and eventually get found out. And you know, obviously these people here in Acts chapter 19, they're not saved, they're Jews. They're just, you know, well, we can't deny what Jesus has done. So we might as well try to just use his name.
Yeah.
You know? Right? You know, but what we have to understand is that we can get to a point in our lives where we backslide, where we get complacent, where we just realize, you know what? I'm slipping. And then what happens? Well, you're already in a routine of coming and fellowshipping and stuff. And this hasn't happened here yet, but I'm just saying this just happens. I see this go on a lot in other churches, and it will happen here. It's just human nature. It happens, okay? It happens to all of us. At some point, we backslide. We're up and down, okay? But sometimes people go a little too far. You know, what happens is they come here, and it's like, man, what's going on with you? What's wrong with you? Well, they get to a point where they're backsliding so much that they're just faking it. And instead of trying to nip that thing early on and asking for some help, what happens is they get found out. The evil spirit says, you know what? Victor, I know. And Mauser, I know. But who's David? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. All right. So what I get from this is, like, when you feel burnt out, and let me just stop right here and just say this. We have all these soul winning times, and I've said this before. No one's looking down on anyone because you don't go to all of them. Right? I told you before, I aim for three, and I usually hit two. Sometimes I get that three. Once in a while, I get that one. You know, it's just life, right? We all have busy lives. We all have things that we've got going on. We're just happy if you go once, you know? Not once, but, you know, one day a week, right? not just one time, but one day a week. It's early, and that Baptist hangover is still affecting me. I think it was like 2:13 when I left the parking lot on Friday. So, good times, though, good times. All right, look at verse 17. Says this, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus. And notice this, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And isn't that what happened this year? The phonies, the fakes, the fanboys, they all washed out. This year, we didn't kick anybody out of church, right? So this year, I've proved to you that my goal is not to just keep kicking people out of church. We've literally made it from February to February without kicking anybody out. We've just had a lot of people come in here for 3 months, maybe 6 months. I'll have to look at the log. But months, fanboys.
2 weeks
was Storm. Yeah, that's true. Did we kick Storm out this year? Did I forget about that? Was he last year? He was last year, huh? Yeah, I think he was last year. But still, either way, 2 weeks. But this year, it's like it's been the fanboys. You know, they come in here, right? And they're like, I'm coming every day. I'm doing this. And some of them came for several weeks.
Yeah.
Like the D brothers. Right? Where's the D brothers at? Before he got through that wall.
Yep.
What did he say? Yeah. I've come to bestow myself a gift unto you. And to preach that Jesus who Pastor Anderson preaches. Another couple came, what, January? Before they even got to this door. Said, we'll give you a try.
Whoa.
I'd like to give you a try. We call Tempe. And we want to adjure you. We want to preach that same Jesus that Pastor Anderson preaches. Okay. Where are they? Anybody know? Well, they're not here. Right? But they took it upon themselves as exorcists. Exercises, right? They're going to exercise their faith. I'm not down on them, not bashing them. But it's true. Right? They took it upon themselves, you know, to set out and to go head to head with the spiritual warfare that's out in the community. And it couldn't last 1 week. Right? It's crazy. But look at this, verse 17. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Regardless, first year, we boot half the church. Second year, we literally had almost 20 people had come in here and either came for a while but just couldn't hang, never come back. You know, just the revolving door.
Yeah.
But what ultimately happened? The word of God was magnified.
Amen.
Right? We're preaching to God. I mean, we got 200 and something people saved versus the 100.
Amen.
With less people.
Right.
How does that work? We don't have to know. We just know it does. It works by purging out that old leaven. It works because fakes and phonies get found out. When we're doing the will of God and we have the same mind, the same vision, and the same goals, God's going to make sure that the phonies get found out and that they get the boot one way or the other, because he wants this mission to succeed. He wants us to get his word. He wants us to fill our area that he's given us with his doctrine. All of it, not just salvation, the whole package. Look at verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and accounted the price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now look at verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. This year we've had some very, very, very interesting soul winning stories. So many, I can't even bring them all up. You know, I feel like, you know, if you've got one, you should just come up here and tell it. You know, we'd be here all afternoon, right? People, I mean, I just one the other day, was it Brother David? You got that guy who used to be a Satanist.
Oh, yeah.
He used to hang out with Satanists, right? Is that what it was? Yeah, he used to hang out with Satanists, just kind of curious. Just kind of like friending and palling around with those types of people. And you know what he understood? He understood the reprobate doctrine. He had a dream. Woke up in the middle of the night in sweats, just panicked, freaked out of his mind. And what did he do? Did he ask? He asked, just ask God if you're real, send somebody to show me the way, basically something like that. Well, we went back over to the townhomes by the Subaru dealership where Crazy Melfi tried to run down Mauser and David and Jeff. Because she's obviously protecting something over there. I don't know what it was, but it doesn't matter. They knock on this guy's door, and he's got his house full of buddies, joking around, mocking. This guy says, let's go across the street where there's lights. And keep in mind, it's what, 28 degrees that day? Pretty cold, dark, in a t-shirt. And he wants to hear the whole thing. So this guy, using curious arts, understanding Satanism, he got to a point to where he realized within his own heart, I'm going to have to make a decision. And it's like he knew, if you talk to David, he tells you the story, like he knew that he was about to cross a line that he couldn't come back from. He didn't really know what that meant, but he knew it was there. He knew it was true. Has this dream, you know, says, God, if you're real, please just send somebody to explain to me what's going on. These guys show up and get him saved. And it's funny, he understood the reprobate doctrine. He's like, that is so true, didn't he? He's like, I know what the sons of Belial are. He's like, I'm fully aware of that, and I understand how they get that way. Ain't that crazy? That's what's going on here. Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books. And that's just one story out of many. A lot of you have had that. Right? I had a great one. We went to Emmett, and I ran into a lady that we got saved over in Caldwell the first week that we were an independent church. You know, I just happened to knock on her door. She had moved all the way to Emmett. You know, it's kind of far from here. And she's just like, you know, some guy got me saved last year, you know, and he's doing what you're doing, and I think God's trying to tell me something. I'm like, yeah, actually, wait, that was me. She's like, well, how are you doing, right? So there's a lot of stories that we have like that, but the point is those things happen more when we get rid of the old leaven and we become a new lump and we realize that and we just allow God to ferment us and to build us up. And so I would say, you know, the goal for this year is to just keep doing the same thing. right? Keep the sowing times if we can, and just keep working God. Allow that fear, right? Allow that healthy fear of God to rule in our lives. This is what produces works. Now go back one chapter to chapter number 18. So point number one, fakes can't follow through and eventually get found out. And the same thing for fanboys. You know, some of the worst part, some of our fanboys actually learned how to go soul winning.
Right.
But they just couldn't get over YouTube. They just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's sad. You know, as a pastor, as a congregation, you guys know it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Because we need help. There are a lot of doors out there that we need to knock. There are a lot of people that we need to follow up with. There are a lot of hurting people in this community that we got to reach. And to see that is disheartening. Acts chapter 18. So let's move on here. Look at verse number 1. And it says this. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So you know chapter 17. Paul's in Athens, you know, doing preaching to the famous Mars Hill sermon. And after all of that, we read here in verse number 1 that he departs and he's going to meet somebody. And I want you to notice this in verse number 2. It says this, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. So Paul finds this certain Jew. We don't know if he gets him saved or if the guy was already saved. But the point is that Paul was always minded to either get people saved or to get people that were saved to do more. Okay? Look at verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So obviously this is a divine appointment here. You know, because he has a lot in common with them. And so he uses that opportunity, and you can just tell by the context, to actually build a good bond with them, to build a friendship. You know, and what happens? He starts to teach them the Word of God. And we're going to take a look at that. And point number 2 is this. Engaging strangers strengthens the local church. This is why we go soul winning. This is why we ought to get over ourselves and stop being so shy and things like that, and to always have the mind, hey, there's somebody who's saved. Hey, well, what are you doing for God?
Right.
What's going on in your life? Well, Kara did this at the place that she previously worked and met a guy. I forgot his name, but he's come a couple of times, right? And he's always told me, you know, I'm so glad that I met her and I found this place, and I live far away and I've got, you know, other things going on, but I'd like to come more often. You know, who knows what that could turn into down the road. But it's that mindset that we all need to have, and I think we do all have. The reason why we're back up to the numbers that we were is because you have this mindset. And so the thing I want to say is, let's not detract from that. Let's enhance that. Let's enhance the engagement this year. I heard some of you talking on Friday. I think Jeff and Dave were talking about different ways to get people to come to church. I like this. And we're going to try some new things out this year, and I think you'll be pleased. Now jump down to verse number 26, and I want to just kind of show you quickly three results of what we read in verse number 1. What actually happened because Paul found this Jew? What were the results? Well, look at verse 26. And he began, so this is Apollos. So now we have a situation, time has gone on. These guys, Aquila and Priscilla, they've been discipled, and they're listening to somebody speak in a synagogue, and they pick up on some cues, and it says this, and he began to speak boldly, so this is Apollos now, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So the first thing that we see them do, because of that appointment that Paul initially made with them, is he had trained them up to a level to where they had the discernment to say, hey, there's a guy that we can invest in. There's somebody that we can befriend and expound the way of God more perfectly and get him to do more. And you all know what Apollos did. He started tearing things up, right? They picked up on that instead of just like, oh, he believes like me, I'm out, right? Or whatever. Turning their backs. They didn't do that. They said, hey, come here. We've got to talk. We have something in common here. And they began to explain the way of God more perfectly to him. And that multiplied and that grew the Word of God. That helped churches. That did all sorts of stuff. And it's the same thing that will happen to this church, to us, when we take on this attitude. Now go to Hebrews chapter number 13, right? And so now, because Paul engaged strangers, we find these same strangers now, his friends, his disciples, they're able to locate and make disciples. And number two, you don't have to turn there, but in Romans 16, verse 3, Paul says this, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus Christ." So because he was able to find that common ground and to disciple them and to connect with them, what happened? He describes them as his helpers in Christ Jesus. Hey, these are my helpers in the new IFB fan club. Right? No. He said, hey, these are my helpers in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Right? They became fans of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goal for all of us.
Amen.
That's the goal. That's what we want to push.
Right.
I'm not against giving out these documentaries. We do it all the time.
Yeah, right.
Right? Because I think it helps to wake people up.
Oh, yeah.
But when we get them in here, it's like, man, we got to try to, hey, listen to the preaching. Hey, this is great. Watch the movies. Be in the new IFB group on Facebook, whatever. But read your Bible.
Yeah.
Come to church.
Yeah.
Learn and apply. If you are not applying, you are what?
Dying.
You're dying. That's right. You don't have to turn there, but here's the third thing. 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says this, "The churches in Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." So because of that appointment in Acts chapter 18, verse 1, 2, and 3, what happened? They started a church. So they were able to go out and make disciples. They were able to go out and preach the gospel. You see that progression there. It ultimately led to a church starting in their house and then that growing and that multiplying and that getting stuff done for God. So all I'm saying is that we need to learn how to enhance our engagement. We need to keep doing what we're doing, but also enhance it. Always looking for an opportunity. You're in the store and you hear somebody talking about, you know, the sodomite deception. Grab them, you know, hey, and explain the way of God more perfectly. Hey, it's great that you're watching these documentaries. It's great that you listen to Pastor Anderson. It's great that you listen to Pastor Mendes. It's great that you heard about Pastor Mejia. But guess what? We have a church in Boise that you can go to 3 times a week and you can learn things to apply to your life to make you a disciple, right? And get works unto yourself that last for an eternity. Right? That's the idea here. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. I want to show you a couple of these verses here. Look at verse 1. It says, "Let brotherly love continue." And that's what I would like to say for our church in this third year. Let's let this continue. Because what ultimately happened in year 2 is we became a great church family with peace, right? I feel like we have rest internally now. You know, we no longer come here and we're like, oh, is so-and-so going to be here? Is so-and-so going to say this? You know, and walking on eggshells and all of that garbage. We don't have to deal with that anymore. And so let's let that continue. But look at verse 2. "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." That's not saying that this is a guarantee that you're going to entertain an angel someday and invite him to your house and you're going to have visions. No, that's not what he's talking about. But you never know, because God has all sorts of tests and things that he does for his disciples and his people. The idea here is that we ought not to forget that we should entertain strangers. When people come in here and maybe they're, you know, a little bit different on certain things, we shouldn't just be like, you know what, I'm not talking to you until, you know, you can really prove yourself. And we don't have anybody in here with that attitude. That person's gone. You know, but we ought to entertain them. We ought to say, hey, you know, what's going on? And nurture them and bring them up in the way of the Lord and really try to help them out. And like I always say, you know, this is a popular proverb. You know, you can bring a horse, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't get them to drink. All you can do is try. All you can do is just be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And if we do this 1,000 times, we'll get at least one of them to stay.
Yeah.
Right? We'll get at least somebody to stay. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And so we've talked about this, and I decided we're going to go ahead and focus on this for this next year, and let's just see what happens. We're going to have follow-up Fridays. So what I'd like to see is that when you guys are out soul winning, you're at work, or you talk to somebody, now here's the thing. If you can tell that they're interested, if you can tell that, you know what, I think this person wants to be a disciple, they want to come to church, they want to grow, you know, you ought to fill out, we're going to have some follow-up cards in the back there. I've already designed them. We just got to print them out. and you write down their information and make the, actually, you know what? A good thing to do is have them write it. Give them a pen and the card and make them fill it out and say, only fill this out if you're really interested in coming to church. If you, or if you want me to come back and maybe answer some more questions, bring you a Bible, bring you a movie, you know, or something, right? And then once you get that information, if you could give that to me, I'll find one of you guys to come with me on a Friday. You know, probably just a couple Fridays a month because this is new. And I'm going to go and be diligent and we're going to follow up with these people, you know, and see what happens. You know, the two or three times in my life where I've actually gotten somebody to come to church and stay and actually be a disciple and I went out soul winning with them, you know, has been from doing that. Now, I'm not talking about, like, hounding people, like, hey, you got to come, right? Because, look, let's just be honest, man. Most people take the grace and run. It's really only that couple that'll look back and give thanks. But it's those two people that we don't want to neglect. We want to entertain those strangers, and we want to try to build them up. Because let's face it, some people, they just need that kick. They just need that push. It could be an intimidating thing to come to a small church. It can. A lot of people, you know, it was always easier for me coming up, you know, as an adult to go to a large church because I feel like you can walk in there and nobody knows anybody anyways. There's a small group. They don't know if you've been there before, and it's just kind of easy to sit down and, all right, this is cool, right? And people out there, they know this. You know, they understand this. I had one lady in Napa. She goes, you know, is your church small? I said, yeah. She's like, well, I don't want to go there because then, you know, when I'm backsliding and stuff, people are going to know. I was like, well, what are you going to do, man? I said, you know what, though? I like that you said that. Yeah. You're honest, yeah. You know, and I hope someday you do come and visit us. Yeah, you know, and I was like, I promise, I won't make fun of you too much if you, you backslide, right? But follow-up Fridays, I think, will be a good thing. So you guys get somebody, because look, we're all busy, right? And so I'd like to take time on Fridays to just solely dedicate to follow up with the people that you guys meet, that I meet, you know, and see if they really are interested. And I'm only going to do it one time. You know, if I go back there and they're like, oh, well, my dog is still stuck behind the refrigerator. My cat is still behind the microwave. Yeah. I'm done. Okay, I'm out of here. I'm not necessarily going to give up the whole program, though. But I'm not going to keep going back to that person. Because sometimes we go to people and they really want to hear it. And this is where I've failed. Because I have met people out here that are like, I wish you'd come back or whatever. And I'm just like, man, no, you don't. I'm done with you. I'm never coming back here again. I don't say that, but I'm like, yeah, right. Sure you are. Or I'm like, okay, you know what? I will come back. And then I don't. I got to stop. I have to work on that, okay? And I think that we would all do well to work on that. So you're there in Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 13. Just want to show you some value of being hospitable. Look at verse 13, Romans 12, 13, it says this, distributing to the necessity of the saints given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. This is not talking about those who curse God. Verse 15, it says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And so what is he trying to tell the Romans here? He's saying, hey, be relatable to people. You know, isn't this what we saw with Paul when he met Aquila and Priscilla? They're all tent makers, and he said, well, this is something that we have in common. And he used that as an opportunity to disciple those people, and look what happened. They were able to go out and do the same thing. Hey, there's a guy who understands the Bible well. There's a guy who gets it. Let's explain the way more perfectly to him. Then what? Paul's describing them as his great helpers in Jesus Christ, meaning they got over the fanboy thing, right? Because there were people that were fanboys back then. These Jews in Acts chapter 19, what were they? They were fanboys. Hey, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth, right? They weren't in it for themselves. They just heard about it. And they were like, hey, that guy, we're going to cast out demons just by his name, without doing the work, without going to church, without learning the doctrines. Look at verse number 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. There's some things that we shouldn't be wise about, and that's the stuff that we're conceited about. Okay? It's the stuff of the world. Because why? Well, it subtracts from our efforts. It hinders the work of God. Go to Matthew chapter 25 real quick. Matthew chapter number 25. So anytime that you're talking to somebody, if you really honestly have something in common with that person, don't be afraid to bring that up. Because that could be the one thing that gets them to drop their guard and allows you to actually make a good connection with them and to get them saved, or if they're already saved, to get them to actually come to church, stick with it, and become a disciple. Now, here's the thing. As a disciple, you have to understand, you got to build that endurance, because most people are going to just give you that lip service. They're going to tell you, I will be there on Sunday. They say this every week. You guys that go soul winning today, you will probably hear somebody say that, I'll come check it out. Or you'll get them saved and they'll say, yes, I will be here. I'm coming tonight. They're going to say, Jeff, you're preaching tonight. I'm coming tonight. David, you're preaching. I'm coming tonight because you guys came to my door. I'll be there. And they won't come. And you can go back 1,000 times and they won't come. They're not devils. They're just whatever. It's just the attitude that most people have, you know. But does that mean that we need to quit or give up? No. Because sooner or later, you're going to knock on that person's door and realize this person actually does want me to come back. You're going to come back. You're going to get that person saved, and they're going to come to church. This happened to me in Tacoma. I remember the first time. I'd been soul winning for 3 years, wondering, when is someone going to actually come to church and stick with it? Well, one night, these guys come to me, and they're like, hey, we met this guy, and he was interested in the gospel, but, you know, we can't give the gospel. So we told him, we know a guy at our church that'll do it. So will you go back on Thursday with us? He's like, sure, I'll go back there. I go back there, I get the guy saved, and I said, hey, you interested in coming to church? Yeah. I was like, yeah, I think I'm sure you are. I said, oh, yeah, cool. Well, I'll call you on Saturday and see, right? And I filled out the little follow-up card, and sure enough, I called him on Saturday. Yeah, I'll be there. Called him up Sunday morning, like, hey, you still going to be coming to church? Yeah, oh, yeah. And he didn't lie. He was. And that guy still goes to that church to this day.
Amen.
So I'm saying you got to put in the work first. Yeah. You have to realize this takes endurance. It's not, you know, and here's the even crazy part. Sometimes, you know, you're going to have somebody who just learned soul winning. They're going to go out and they're going to get somebody saved and get a disciple. And they're going to come to church and you're going to be like, what am I doing wrong? That person's watching. You know, and you're going to, don't do that. Don't compare yourselves like that. You know, it's just a lot just happens, okay? Matthew 25, look at verse 40. So Jesus says this, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And he's talking about doing great things unto the people that believe in the Lord. You know, so here's another thing I just like to bring up. You know, when we're out in the community, you find somebody who's saved, but maybe they're struggling. Maybe they have to move, or maybe they need help. Maybe they just don't want to come to church yet, but they want someone to talk to. Maybe a good idea would be to say, you know what, I'm going to actually invest a little bit of time and see where this goes. You know, and put the pride aside, because what is Jesus saying here? That when you take the time to help one of his brethren out, you're helping him. And there are a lot of people in this community, not a lot, but there are a lot more than other places, that are actually saved. And those people are his brethren.
Yeah.
Don't forget about that. They may not believe like us, but if they have a need, let's put our pride aside. Let's go help them out. You guys know the story. Skulk and I knocked on this lady's door after the Boise bench fight.
Yeah.
She recognized me. She said, you're the guy on YouTube. I've heard about your church. And your pastor's really mean. I was like, you talking about Pastor Menes? What are you talking about? She's like, no, the pastor of this church, he's really mean. I saw what he said to people on Facebook, right? Because I said some, pretty much told people to pound sand. But anyways, she's like, and that's, she said, I'm going to go get my coat. And I'm like, whatever, right? We decided to take a different approach. I was kind. She wasn't saved. But we could just kind of sense that something was different. Like she was mad, but she was still like open to the truth, if that makes sense. Every time I give her a verse and explain why I said what I said, why we do what we do, she's like, okay, well, I've never heard that before. You know, she's still upset, but it made sense. And I could realize that she was hurting. She's had a rough life.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, she's talking about how she has to move, and she starts going off on that. And I said, you know what? We'll help you. Right, we will help you. She's not even saved. I said, you know, we're going to help you move. And it was kind of rough, right? It's a long story. But we went and we helped her pack up her things and take some of her junk to Goodwill late on a Thursday or a Tuesday, something like that. And we went and, you know, got my truck, loaded it up, took two or three trips, and we basically went to Goodwill over on Overland and took that whole warehouse over. We just told the guy working, they're like, we've got this. You know, I'm serious. And we bypassed it. We're like, you mean nothing. You don't even work here right now. We do. You know, we went in there and we started bringing all our stuff and putting it in the back of the Goodwill warehouse, you know. And at the end, we turned a foe into a friend.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's going to happen as a result of that because she moved away. She wound up coming to church one time. And, you know, who knows? But here's the thing. What happens if up in Coeur d'Alene, you know, Sure Foundation Spokane knocks on her door? Right? And says, now are you ready? I'd be interested in eternity to find out what happens to that lady. So all I'm saying is that, you know, we did that for somebody who was just kind of open to hearing a little bit of truth. What happens when we do that to somebody who is actually saved?
Yeah.
Then what's going to happen? Well, what's going to happen is that we enhance the engagement. What's going to happen is possibly an Aquila and Priscilla situation. Right? So let's just focus on this here. Let's not always just get into the mindset, well, you don't believe in these certain doctrines that we do that come from the Bible that we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, so the heck with you. Right? Sometimes we have to just sidestep that and help these people out. Help them overcome whatever it is that's troubling them, whatever it is that's preventing them from actually being a disciple, and invest in them and help them grow. Okay, go to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. All right, so the point number one was fakes, phonies, fanboys can't follow through and they eventually get found out. And point number two is engaging strangers strengthens the church. You notice that everything that we do as a church, what does it all point to? It points to the Lord. And what else does it point to? Soul winning. Right? The whole reason that we meet on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesdays, while we meet at off times, while we talk to each other in these chat groups that we have, it's to, well, to relieve steam, right? Because that's important. It's to talk trash about the wicked, which I think is very important. And it's ultimately to get better at soul winning. Knocking on doors and making disciples. That's the whole point. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 16. Very important to understand this here. Matthew 28, look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Let's stop right there. I love saying this. What did Jesus say in verse 18? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You have to realize this, and you all do, that we have the power of God in his word. That church right across the parking lot here, right? What do they say? Oh, well, God's power is in people flopping around like a flounder in the aisles and rolling around and barking like a dog being filled with the Holy Ghost, right? No. That's not the power of God, my friend. You need to give up that rock and roll music you've got going on over there and these shouts of hell and actually read and believe the Bible and understand that Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And who is he speaking to here? His disciples. Remember how David had his mighty men? Those were his disciples. The disciples of Christ today, we are the mighty men. We are literally the special forces of his kingdom. And we have power, and it's in this earth, so we have to have the word of God. Verse 19, go ye therefore. So he's saying, hey, for that reason, because of that power that's in earth that I own, that I have, that I've set up, that I've established, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so here's the thing. You know, if somebody doesn't believe in any one of those three, they are not saved. They are not truly baptized into the body of Christ. They have not been placed into that. Okay, but that's a sermon for another day. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So that tells us that this wasn't hermeneutically speaking, dispensationally speaking, only to the people at this time. No, because the end of the world has not happened yet. That means there's still power in this earth. There's still a mission in this earth. There are still disciples in this earth. And we have to fulfill this commission, which is what? Verse 20, to observe all things. We are to teach people to observe all things.
Right.
So when people say, oh, you know, you should just preach the gospel every day. You shouldn't teach Leviticus 20:13 and try to apply that. Is that not God's word? Where did Jesus say, hey, I've come to destroy the law? You know, not even the NIV says that yet. Yet. It's coming. It's coming. So what is the whole purpose of being a disciple? Why have this exchange between the resurrected Christ and his disciples? Why have this preserved for us to read today? What is the point? Well, it's this. The whole point of being a disciple is to commence the whole commission. Remember, soul winning and getting people saved is a very extremely important part of what we do, but it's really only part because we're commanded to have them observe all things, which is coming to church, which is applying so that we are not dying. It's all doctrine, right? We are to fill this place up with God's doctrine. We are to speak and to preach against the wickedness of these politicians. Why are you preaching against the mayor? What does she ever do to you? Well, she hates God. She enables these fags around here to get away with all sorts of stuff that they should not be getting away with. And now that their champion, dirty riding Biden's in office, they feel emboldened, don't they? They feel empowered. Oh, you're just a stupid Christian. Get out of here or I'll call the police. You're just a stupid Christian. You have no right to knock on that door, even though I don't pay their rent. And they enable this stuff.
That's right.
She supports this stuff. But you know what? We're not going to be bothered. We're not going to be moved or shaken by any of that because we realize that the true power Jesus owns, and it's in this earth, and comes from this book. It comes from understanding this. And you know what? We're going to go follow up with people and say, hey, now that you're saved, let me show you Romans chapter number 1.
Amen.
Let me show you why we kick fags out if they come in here. Let me show you why we don't support pedophiles. Let me show you why these people can't get saved. And not just that, but everything.
Right.
Let me show you why, as we see the day approaching, we need to assemble ourselves together even more so. Right? Maybe not necessarily just adding another church service, but, you know, getting together, sticking together, being that new lump that we need to be. Now, look at verse 20 again. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That you there is plural. He's talking to the disciples as a whole. That is preserved for us. And so we need to realize that. Because sometimes these guys out there, they have a lot of questions, don't they? They get saved and they're like, what about this? What about that? And you're like, we'll get back to that. And then we're so excited they get saved where we forget.
Yeah.
Well, hey, write that down. You know, ask these people, hey, say this. Look, we don't like to bother people. We don't want to waste your time. You know, we don't want to waste your time. But if you're interested, you know, could we get your information? We'd like to bring a DVD to you. You know, say, hey, you know, our pastor would like to meet you and maybe just encourage you. Do you have anything that we could pray for you for? We have prayer time on Wednesday. You know, something to that effect. And if you can sense that these people are genuine, that they really want the help, we'll follow up with them and we'll begin to teach them all things in hopes to get them to come in here and become disciples. Because the whole point of what we do is to make disciples. It's to get people saved and disciple them, help them to grow, to commence the whole commission, not just part of it. See, a lot of these liberal churches, they just focus, oh, we got a discipleship program, discipleship, discipleship, which really isn't discipleship at all. It's foolishness. It's curious arts. That's what a lot of these commentaries are. They're curious arts, if you didn't know that. That's what they are. And then some churches, they take it the other way. Well, we're just going to do soul winning, right? Not going to disciple people, you know, just the heck with them. We don't want to do, the truth is in the middle. We need to fulfill the whole thing. We need to work on that. And I think this is a good opportunity in the time of our church to actually go ahead and implement follow-up Fridays and to do this. So go back to Acts chapter 5 real quick. We're almost done. We are almost done. And you know, when you read about Peter, James, John, Paul, all the disciples, what do you read them do? If you read about their lives and what they taught, it wasn't only the salvation message, was it? It was all things whatsoever he commanded. They were never afraid to teach doctrine to anyone. They got beaten for it, right? They got stoned for it. They got whipped for it. And they continued to do more because they realized the value in this. The things that we do as disciples, it goes on to eternity. It will follow you after your physical body goes into the grave. Think about this church now. You know, when we started, we literally had half the people in here not on board for a full year. Now we're back to that same number. And I feel like now we're all of the same mind. I think that year three, we can do some very, very, very good works for God, and I think that we will.
Amen.
We already have. But now I think that we can enhance that. We can do more. So right where we began, Acts chapter 5, verse 11, says this, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." You see, now do you understand? It was important for these people to hear what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. It's important for us to tell new people that come in here the history of our church.
Right.
Hey, you know, we had to kick these people out. We actually went through a period in our church where we had to purge the old leaven out because they were preventing us from growing. It's important. You know, those people are probably going to watch this and, "I can't believe he's still bringing it up." But here's the thing. It produces a healthy fear of God. Because you see what happens when you get rid of them. It's like, whoa, that wakes me up. It's like, man, look at all the stuff that we did this year. How in the world did we get 200 salvations with half the church?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Think about that. We've had 2 weeks in the last month where we've had 20 soul winners or close to that number. We used to have that regularly when we had all those other families. But we've had double the salvations. And that's because as we all heard these things, we all, who are genuine, began to fear the Lord. And that fear is the beginning of what? Wisdom and knowledge. And so therefore that new lump with wisdom and knowledge, the right leaven, right? We can grow, we can expand, and we can actually be baked in the oven properly. And so I better stop before I get myself in trouble there. But anyways, look at verse number 14. So after Ananias' wife, after she gets the same treatment and dies, look at verse 14. It says this, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." And of course, during this time frame, they still had people that could do the miracles and heal the sick. And all those signs and wonders, those also increased. Isn't that exactly what we saw this year? And believers were more added to the Lord with half the numbers that we'd had originally. Now that we're back to like where we were number-wise, and we shouldn't always just be about the numbers, but we do care about that, right? Now, man, year three, we could do all sorts of stuff. You know, just because we didn't do the mega marathon last year, it's okay. God said, hey, I'm going to allow you to just go out and, you know, have these small town events, you know, every so often. And guess what? He adds more believers. He's not going to use people like the Melfis, like Nimrod and their pals to do the job because they're phonies, they're fakes. And so I would just say, I think the vision is very simple, is to keep doing what we've been doing. I'm not trying to like add a bunch of stuff and load you up. Just keep doing what you've been doing. We're all saved. I don't think we have any devils in here. I'm being serious when I say that. I'm not looking out here at you guys' faces and seeing a bunch of frowns, except for Mauser, but and maybe Kinley. I'm just kidding. I just do. She's great. Kai Lynn, though, I don't know. No. She's like, what? She's like this. No, just kidding. I'm just teasing. But you get the point. More of the same. Somebody asked me that. You know, I told them that I was a pastor because they kind of just like, oh, you seem like a Christian. Yeah. I said, well, what's your goal for your third year as a church? I said, just more of the same stuff.
Good.
That's it. No stress. Just more of the same stuff. Keep doing what we're doing. But focusing on the fundamentals, the Bible reading, the prayer, the edification, all the stuff that we've been doing. Let's just keep doing it, right? I think the only new thing that I'm really trying to push, really just I'm putting it on me, and it's just the follow-up. And I'm going to harass some of you. Hey, can you come with me? I don't ever have to harass anybody. I call any one of you up. You're like, yeah, right away. Because everybody's of the same mind. We have the same goal. We just want to see people saved. And guess what? It's not a crime. Right? It's not a crime. We had a guy yesterday, Pastor Thompson knocked on his door, and he's got two little dogs about this big, and he's got his mask on, right? And he's just like, do you wear masks at your church? He's like, no. The guy's like, well, I think I'll find one where they do. And he's like, yeah, that's really good. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that, please. There's a church on 5 Mile and Victory with a rainbow flag. It would be perfect for you. Go there. And we'll enjoy the show, okay? All right, let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church, for all that you've done for us, Lord, the second year. I just pray for this third year, Lord. Just pray that you would help us to do more of the same. I pray that you would help us to go out into the community, continue to teach people, Lord, to observe all, not just some, but all of your commandments, all of the things that you teach us to do. And just pray you to have your hand, your blessing on our programs, Lord, at this church. Pray you bless the fellowship after the service. In